We're going to continue in Luke 11 this morning, and it's the continuation of the same theme we started last Sunday. You remember in verse 1, Jesus has been praying in a certain place, and one of the disciples, after he had completed his prayer, went to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The objective of the request and Jesus' objective in teaching is not to give us the how-to, but the motivation to pray. Teach us to pray. When Jesus gave the model prayer, it begins with an acknowledgement of an established relationship. Our Father, who art in heaven. It's not a relationship we hope that we can gain. It's one we have. So with that set in our minds, let's begin with verse 5. Read through verse 13. "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his way, or in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you," pardon me, "ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Jesus gives, in beginning in verse 5, one of the two major examples, intending to teach us to pray. You're sound asleep in bed. I want you to put yourself in this position. And at midnight, your doorbell rings, or there's a knock on the door. A good friend of yours has been traveling, perhaps has lost his way. Interestingly, a footnote in verse 6, "a friend of mine in his way, in his journey," the King James translator's footnote, "out of his way." He's on his journey, but apparently maybe got lost. He's trying to make up time at night, and there are no street signs and lights, so he gets a little lost, but he's in your neighborhood. He knows you. He knows where you live. So out of desperation, he knocks on your door. He's been traveling all day. He's tired, he's sleepy, and he's hungry. You're getting ready to go shopping tomorrow morning, and your cupboard is bare. You don't have a thing you could give him. And yet, you feel obligated. He has a real need that you can't supply. So what do? You have a good neighbor next door, but let's face it, if you think about knocking on your neighbor's door at midnight, how do you feel about doing that? A little anxious? A little embarrassed that you didn't have food in your own cupboard? A little hesitant, and a whole lot more fearful, anxious emotions. But you go because your friend has a real need that you can't supply out of your cupboard. Not because This man is your neighbor and even your friend, but because he understands there is someone in need and he can help, he gets out of bed, he goes to his cupboard and gives you everything you need to feed your neighbor. So what do we learn from this? Why does this contribute to an encouragement for us to pray? I think the next two verses answer that question. Verses 9 and 10, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus is putting you and me and our prayers in stark contrast, mirror opposites, between us and our relationship with our neighbor and between us and God. First of all, ask and you shall receive and so on is not a name it, claim it passage. James reminds us that there are times we pray and our prayers are not answered. The problem is not with God, the problem is with us. So what's the solution? The first solution, and it's so obvious, don't interpret ask and you shall receive out of context. Don't pull it out of the Bible and put it over here in an isolation chamber. Look at it in its context. This man had to get up, knock on his neighbor's door, ask his neighbor, and hope he would receive what he petitioned for the benefit of his neighbor. So what's the point? God is mirror opposite to our neighbor. And so we should in our own thoughts cultivate not trepidation, fear, anxiety, embarrassment. Anytime we have a need to help someone else and we don't have anything in our personal cupboard to help them. And it's not just food, is it? How many times has someone come to you and confessed their weakness or their problem or their need? And you listen. Maybe you ask questions to try to understand better. And when they finish with their dilemma, what do? I don't know what to do. I can't help you. What does Jesus teach in this lesson? The object is to teach us to pray, right? So what does Jesus say? When someone comes to you with their problem and their need and seeking help from you, get on your knees and go to the Lord in prayer. Encourage yourself to pray. The whole setup with the disciple asking a question is it was so natural, it was so frequent, it was so the thing that Jesus frequently prayed, and his prayer to the Father was not a memorized, repeated 100 times over narration. It was a conversation with God from his heart. If you and I had heard Jesus pray like that, you and I would be saying, Lord, teach me to be more like you in my prayers. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. That's what that disciple, and probably all of them, needed and wanted. It's easy when you stumble and fall. You fail. And you pick yourself up and you dust yourself off and you're filled with shame and embarrassment. You don't want to look yourself in the mirror. And there's an embarrassed reluctance to go to the Lord. Do you think he's waiting for your prayer to know you failed? He knew it before you did it. He knew it when you did it. You're not going to him in confession to reveal something to him. You're more going, Tyler's been preaching on it from 1 John. You're going to him seeking his forgiveness and seeking a restoration in that so desperately needed fellowship with him. And what does Jesus say? Don't be reluctant like you would knocking on your neighbor's door at midnight. Knock, ask, seek. God is awake 24/7. He is tuned into your needs 24/7. Go to him and let your needs be known. And then Jesus takes the next step. A son is hungry. He goes to his father and asks for different articles of food. Well, the father, instead of giving his son food for his hungry, give him things that are bad for him, toxic for him, perhaps poisonous and dangerous for him? If the son goes asking for food, what's the father going to give? He's going to give food. I confess, you've probably, some of you old timers who've been here a long time, heard me say it, and I'm confessing to you with sincere regrets. I used to say, be careful what you ask for. God might give it to you to prove to yourself that you don't need it. Joe, what were you thinking? I was buying in to the illogical idea that because we ask, God is not a wise father who knows the difference between what we need and what we ask. God will never give you something bad for you, toxic for you, poisonous for you. He will always give you something that nurtures and feeds and helps you grow. Because he's a way better father than any father I've ever heard of, I've ever known, anywhere in any family. And you've had good fathers. I had a good father. Hey, they can't measure up to God, your Father in heaven. They can't even hold a candle to him because of his goodness. And then Jesus pulls the conclusion to the lesson. This verse 13 takes 12 verses and pulls them into one central truth. If ye then, being evil, you're not perfect, you're not sinless, you're not flawless like God, but your parental love motivates you to do good things for your children when they come to you asking. You know how to give good things to your children because they ask. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The idea of a father-child relationship is stamped all over this lesson from verse 1. Our Father which art in heaven. A friend goes to a friend, but God is a greater one than the friend. A father responds to his child's request. Even if it's a request at midnight, he responds with goodness. Let me ask you a simple question. Based on the model prayer and everything Jesus has taught in this lesson, who prays to God? His child. His born again, saved child prays to him in confession, in need, in petition, in care for others, and care for your own needs. Did you notice that? The first lesson is someone else's need that comes to you. The second lesson is a child going to his father for his own personal needs. Should you be embarrassed going to the Lord for your personal needs? No, that's what he tells you to do. Should you feel deficient when someone comes to you and you feel like you have nothing to offer? You go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me wisdom and grace to help this person and to feed their needs. I've told you about a habit too long in the forming in my own life. For years, Just out of the blue, a friend that I hadn't thought about for a long time would come to mind. And I'd think about him and have fond memories of our time together. And then I'd dismiss it and go on my way. The internet comes. There are some horrible things with the internet, but there are some really good things. The internet comes along and it's easy to send an email or a text message. And I don't know exactly how it started, but I had that unique sensation one day about one of my friends who lived back on the East Coast. And I sent him an email and I said, "You know, I woke up this morning and you were on my heart and I've been praying for you. You doing okay? Is everything all right?" And I got an answer right back. "Joe, this has been going on in my life and I've been struggling with it, and your prayer was an, or your message was an answer to prayer. I needed it." Just in the last 6 months, a brother, a pastor in the state of Alabama, I met him one time briefly when I was in Alabama preaching at another church, and he came to the appointment. But he's just been one of those people that's been sitting in my heart all these years. I hear good things about him. He's been a faithful, steady pastor. And I woke up and he was just heavy on my heart. So I found contact information and I sent him my message. He wrote back and said, "Brother Joe, your message could not have come at a more needed time." And he confessed that when he read my message, the need he had and the obvious providential intervention of God to nudge me on the other side of the country to send him that encouraging word sent him into a flood of tears. And he showed it to his wife, and she broke down in tears. When something touches your heart, pray about it. And if it involves someone else, let them know you're praying for them. Let them know. If we all understand this lesson, we all understand something that James says. I mean, he says you can pray and your prayers aren't answered. You can request and the request is not granted because, and it wasn't because of God, it was because of you. But then he turns right around and tells you when there's a need in the church to go to the church and ask for prayer, and the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So go and pray. And let people know when you're praying for them. Lord, teach us to pray. And I think if we look at this lesson as it was intended, Jesus and Luke have just given us incredible encouragement to pray.